Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is one of my favorite, one of the favorite things that we get to do here on Faith and Family. It is Nutrition and Taste Testing Day. I love it. Laura Morton, our nutrition educator from the St. Louis District Dairy Council, is joining us in studio and a panel of taste testers here. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to eat healthy on a budget. We're going to learn about some new things that maybe you haven't tried before. Hope you can join us for the conversation all around helping families stay healthy and spending some quality time together as well around food and meals. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org. Look for the CUW logo there, and you can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining us in studio, as promised, Laura Morton, nutrition educator and registered dietitian with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Laura, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
I'm so excited. One of my favorite guests because you always bring fun food for us to try.
This is one of my favorite things to do, too, so I'm with you.
I'm excited. I see fun stuff lined up on the cart here today. Looks like we've got some great foods to try. I'm excited. And you mentioned we're going to try some stuff that's new.
Yes.
Perhaps unusual even.
Yes. And I say new with quotations because I think that these foods have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Sure.
But they're new to us and they're new to our grocery stores around here. Some of them are. So it's maybe something that we haven't tried before.
And some of them come from different parts of the world, too.
Yes.
Traditions from different parts of the world.
Yes,
excited
definitely.
About that. All right, well, let's introduce our taste testing panel today. Joining us in studio, we have a nice panel of ladies joining us. Lisa Kelp, thanks so much for coming over and joining us today.
Thank you.
And you brought with you your lovely daughter, Anna. Anna, how are you this morning?
Good.
Now, Anna, what you attend the Kelp family homeschool, right?
Yes, I do.
What year? You're in high school now?
Yes, I'm a senior, so I'll be graduating.
But one of your favorite things to do is to follow a food writer, and so maybe following or maybe looking at doing some food writing yourself, huh?
Yeah, actually, it's really cool that Laura's on here because my dream would be to be a registered dietitian.
Oh.
So this is right up my alley, definitely. And I love tasting food and figuring out ways to alter the recipes to make them healthier.
Outstanding. Also joining us in studio today, Melissa Corbett from accounting here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
You didn't know that I was going to ask you to talk today. You thought you were just coming to taste food.
Exactly.
Well, how appropriate, though, since we're as families, always trying to seek to be better stewards of our money and resources and to eat healthy. And so we're going to talk about eating healthy on a budget as well as introducing some new things today. Do you find that as family? Oh, and also, I forgot, we have one other guest hiding in the corner over there. Sydney, staff here at KFUO, always happy to come help us taste some great foods here. Sydney, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
All right. So as families, do you find it challenging when you're shopping and trying to stay healthy, but also trying not to blow the budget for your family in you know, planning meals, that sort of thing? Do you think so?
Yes, that's that's a weekly challenge. And I work very hard to look at the labels and do comparisons when I am using canned goods. And it just takes longer to go through the grocery store to do that. But in order to try to eat healthier, that's what you have to do. So anytime you can get tips on how to do that in a quicker way, it's appreciated.
Do you find, Melissa, do you find it challenging? Who's the chief grocery shopper in your home?
That would be my husband and I both, actually. We share that job. It is tough because we are a very, very busy family with kids going to sports and riding horses and things like that. And so finding healthy alternatives that are quick and that, like you said, don't break the bank, it's a difficult thing to do. But yeah, I'm glad to get a little help in that area.
And things that are portable, too. We talk about things that you can take on meals or snacks that you can take on the run, and Laura is always providing us great tips for that as well. All right, Laura, the challenge today, things that don't break the bank, things that taste good, that we want to eat, because as you and other nutrition educators have pointed out, it's not nutrition if it's not eaten.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Those are a lot of things that we have to cross off the checklist today. Mm-hmm. But one of the things about eating healthy and eating healthy on a budget is finding new foods to incorporate. Because when you are on a budget, as I am, and I think as many families in the country and around the world are, you tend to eat the same things.
And get in a rut.
Yes. It's very easy to do that. Especially I found with my protein sources, because protein is such a huge part of our diet, but it also tends to be the higher priced items on our grocery list. So I'm always looking for new, maybe not new, but different protein sources. And I often turn to dairy, especially yogurt lately, for alternative protein sources that are portable, affordable, and obviously taste good, because otherwise they'll just sit in the refrigerator and we won't eat them. So I tried to fit all of those bills this morning.
I know in the past we've talked about Greek yogurt. That's really popular right now. That's been pretty common. It's a little bit thicker, right? Because it's strained and it's a little bit thicker. We've used that in a few recipes in the last few conversations. We've used it for dips and things like that.
Hugely parfaits, popular. Hugely popular and a great source of lean protein. And it's just like regular yogurt, but the whey has been strained out, so it's a denser protein source. And that kind of translates into our first taste testing, because I brought in another type of strained yogurt that was actually introduced to me by Andy. And how did you first come across Skyr, this product we're going to taste?
I don't remember. I think I just found it on the shelf in a store one time and thought I would give it a try. And I like the thicker stuff, although I do like the thinner stuff that you can drink on the run, but Skyr is certainly not something you can drink.
No. So Icelandic Skyr is the product that I brought in, and it's very similar to a Greek yogurt. It's skimmed yogurt, just like Greek is. So they take the milk, skim the cream off, and that leaves us with virtually a fat-free milk. But somehow the result is so creamy. I don't know how they do it. It's traditionally made, though, with fat-free milk. And it's really dense, really high in protein, and has a really, really thick texture. Similar to Greek yogurt, but even a little bit creamier still.
I would... Yeah, almost... I don't know. Well, I'll let everybody try it before I give away what I think it's kind of like. Because I'm curious to hear what other people think, too, regarding the texture of it. Now... These that we're trying today, they have fruit mixed in with them?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and kind of a little backstory about the only brand that I've seen readily available, the man behind it said that our yogurts were too sweet. The yogurts that we had on the shelf, he found to be too sweet, the flavored ones. So he wanted to bring in a flavored yogurt that doesn't have a lot of added sugar.
That's how I found it.
You found it to be a little less sweet than the Greek.
That's what it was. I spent time looking at all the yogurts on the shelf, and I wanted something that had fruit in it. Thank you for reminding me. I wanted something that had fruit and it had some flavor. It wasn't just plain yogurt, although the plain is good. I wanted something that didn't have a lot of sugar in it. And some of the originals, I don't know what they sweeten it with now, but some of the originals were sweetened with agave, and they didn't put a lot of sugar in it. It was significantly lower in terms of the amount of sugar, the ratio of sugar to the rest of the proteins in it.
And keep in mind that yogurt does have some natural carbohydrates, so that registers on as sugar on the label. But as far as added sugars go, this is definitely one of the lower ones. And let me check to see what it is sweetened with, because I didn't check that. It's sweetened with berries, first and foremost, and then it does have a little bit of cane sugar in it. Yep, only 8 grams total, and 4 of those grams will be from the natural sugars found in the milk.
Now, the one thing that I haven't done with this, and we've used it with, we've gotten the plain before and just added, you know, regular fruit like berries or something like that to it. But the one thing I haven't done yet, and after you taste it, you might get an idea. I have not frozen it yet, but I think this would be interesting frozen.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe you'll see why.
Would you mind passing that?
No, well, thanks for trying an idea that I brought in.
Yeah. Well, I've been meaning to try it since you mentioned it to me, because I had not tried it before. And I think that this will be popping up in grocery stores. I think it will be a new trend coming soon.
Sure. I've seen it more and more across at different stores. You know, in the past, you could just find it at places that carried the unique stuff, like a Whole Foods market or someplace like that was the only place I could find it. But now I'm seeing it some of the regular local grocery stores, the more regional chains, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we'll definitely see more and more from a variety of brands will pick up something similar to this, because Greek yogurt has seen such huge success because people are looking for alternative protein sources. And this is an additional great protein source that is also very affordable.
Now, you said Icelandic. So do you know anything else about the history of this?
Okay. I'm going to have to get my notes for this, because I am not an expert in the history of foods, but I had a great time researching it, because it's very interesting. So skier, which I wrote in my notes to pronounce it like a skier, like a downhill skier, so because it's S-K-Y-R, and it was brought from Norway to Iceland more than 1,100 years ago. And it says that the tradition has died out in most of Scandinavia, but it lives on as a part of Icelandic culture. So it's still largely popular in Iceland. So I don't know if you have any listeners in Iceland right now.
That's very possible. I should have given the forecast for Iceland, what, Reykjavik, yeah. If I could pronounce it correctly.
I wonder how cold it is there. But kind of referencing the temperature there, it was apparently part of the culture, and because they skimmed the whey out, which they then used to pickle the vegetables that they grew in the spring so they could last throughout the cold, long, hard winters in Iceland. So they used all parts of the process in making this skyr. But it's made in a similar way to Greek yogurt, where active bacteria cultures are added. So it is a great probiotic source, which is good for... we know it's good for our gut health.
Good healthy belly, right?
Good healthy belly. That sounds better.
It is, FYI, and I never pronounce it right, Reykjavik, Iceland. I'll get it right one day. 41 right now.
Oh, how mild.
Rain. Yeah, so it's not too bad there in Iceland.
No, but I wonder if anyone listening is enjoying a bowl of skyr right now.
All right, should we get the reviews? What flavor did we have today?
This is triple berry, so it's raspberry, blueberry, and blackberry.
Very good. All right. So what's your take on the skyr? What's your take? We'll start with Melissa.
I've never eaten Greek yogurt because the texture kind of makes me nervous, as I said. however, this is more creamy, like a regular yogurt, but not real thin, less watery, I guess, than it is not super sweet. So as far as my family goes,
probably not
questionable. but I think it's really good.
Oh, good.
And I actually, when I think of protein, I always think of chicken. Mm-hmm. I don't ever think of yogurt. So this is a good alternative. I'm not a big connoisseur of healthy foods, like what I can eat and what I can't eat and that kind of stuff. So I love this kind of stuff because it helps me to be able to eat better and try something that we can actually use.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. Sydney, what'd you think over there? What'd you think?
Well, I'm not used to anything really sweet. And so I took the first bite of this and I thought, ooh, it wasn't real sweet. In fact, it was kind of sour to me. And I thought, oh, I don't think I'm going to like this. But I took the second bite, and it was much better. It was just getting used to it. And I've been enjoying it very much. Thank you.
Anna, what's your response to this? Have you tasted any or tried anything like this before?
Well, we've kind of just gotten on the boat of Greek yogurt. We first tried plain Greek yogurt and weren't really fans of that. And so then we started trying ones with flavors. So I definitely think, it's very much like Greek yogurt in the texture, but it is creamier, not quite as sweet. I don't really like super sweet yogurt. I liked it, and I actually think it would be a really good snack on kind of summer days, and trying it frozen, that would definitely be good. But it would be a great snack or to go with lunch or breakfast or anything. I liked it.
Yeah, Lisa?
And I thought the taste was good too, and I agree that it does have a creamier texture, and I could see that you could sprinkle a little granola on top to add that crunchy texture to it.
I think the thickness, the density would work well for a parfait. If you're making a yogurt parfait, it's a little bit thicker. It'd work well for that.
It would hold up well, I think.
And
in
I think
a parfait.
Laura, were you the one who suggested putting your parfaits in a jar so that you look fancy when you bring it to work and everybody's jealous? Yeah. Laura suggested putting your parfaits, your yogurt parfaits, in a nice glass jar and
also
bring
make
it to work.
Them portable too.
That's
not
right,
just for the fancy.
Oh, that's
appeal.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Not just fancy, but I could see taking the skewer and layering it in a jar or bowl or something, or in a glass to make a parfait, and it's a little bit thicker, so it holds up when you're on the run too.
Yes.
So it's not all watered down.
Exactly.
And soggy.
Exactly.
By the time you get there.
So you guys would consider this as maybe an alternative protein source to something like chicken? Because I think that's what a lot of people think. They think protein, they think beef.
Do you have chicken for breakfast? I mean, you can.
No.
Bacon, chicken. Yeah, I guess.
I always think meat products. Yeah.
And eggs.
Is dairy. Yeah, but even just a regular old glass of milk has 8 grams of protein, and it's really high quality protein. Our bodies absorb it really easily. So it's good to think of alternatives to more expensive products like chicken and beef, and even eggs lately we've seen a spike in price. Some other low cost protein options, beans are a great one. They're double dose with a lot of protein and also a lot of fiber. Lentils, cheese is a great source and also delicious in everything you put it on.
Now, what I haven't tried with skyr is something that we did with Greek yogurt last time, was making more of a savory
meal
out of it.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. And I read that a lot of, traditionally in Iceland, it's often used as a savory dish for, I think it was potatoes. They somehow incorporated skyr with potatoes and mixed it with porridge for a hearty breakfast. So I always think of porridge as being oatmeal. Is that exactly what it is? Or is it a little different?
I think of it more like cream of wheat.
Yeah. Okay. Thicken up your cream of wheat with a little Greek yogurt or skyr or plain yogurt. I think of it as a way to kind of boost your protein at breakfast.
It's a little bit like the Greek yogurt. Is it a little tart to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does. Yes. It has that little bit of a bite to it. That
so I wonder
tart.
How that would work with the savory. We did a taco dip or something like that one time with the Greek yogurt. So I don't know how that would work with the tartness of it.
But is that the blackberry?
Well,
in there?
That's true.
Because
are the berries creating more of that tanginess? Yeah.
Taste.
The tang.
The sharpness is kind of blackberry tasting.
Greek yogurt, and I think that this yogurt as well does have a sourness and a tang from the probiotics that gives you that feel on your tongue that's kind of like a tartness, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And I think it would hold up well in a dip, kind of similar to sour cream, how sour cream has that same tang.
That's what I was thinking.
I think this would be the plain, which is available, would be a great base for a dip for your holiday parties coming up.
I would, even in places where you might use cream cheese.
Oh, yeah. It's thick enough for that, you think?
Some things, not everything. If you're just using it as like a schmear on bagels or something like that.
Right.
I think you could have it with that and berries on a bagel or a toast or something like that.
Oh, I'd be willing to try it.
That might be kind of good.
Now, I want to make sure we have time to get through everything. How many more, how many other items do we have?
Just two.
Today. Okay. Very good. All right. So we went to Iceland for this one. Are we traveling to other parts of the world for the other items?
Well, I think this one
was the most
possibly
exotic.
Originated somewhere else. This next one, which is kefir.
Okay.
But it's widely used in the United States now, and I'm sure it's widely used all across the country because it is another great fermented food, so it's really good for our bellies, for happy bellies. Has anyone here had kefir before? I know Andy has.
Okay. No.
Awesome.
Well, Sydney, have you had kefir before? No. This is a first time for everybody. All right.
I've never
everybody
heard
except
of
me.
It.
This one is it's pretty widely available now. I think you can get it everywhere from Aldi to probably Walmart, I think, carries it now, and all the regional grocery chains carry it. Tons of flavors. I brought in chocolate because I've never had that before and I wanted to give it a try. And then also strawberry, so I'll pour a little bit of both so you can sample them.
Now, if you mix them, then you have a chocolate covered strawberry, right?
I was thinking the same thing.
So, let's see, the skyr came from Iceland. And where did you say kefir?
I don't know where this
Middle
originated.
Middle East, I think.
Did it? Okay.
Eastern Europe,
okay.
Do I have that on there? It says on the bottom.
Oh!
I was going to say.
It says it right on the bottom. See, I'm learning something.
I was thinking
2000 years ago.
Kefir, kind of like mango lassi, which we did one time as well. It's a
similar.
And is this, I know mango lassi sometimes is served at room temperature because it was developed at a time when refrigeration wasn't really that common. I don't know if I've ever had room temperature kefir or if I would.
I don't think I have either, but I think that the high probiotic content would keep it
a little bit longer.
Yeah, it would keep it safer at room temperature. Mm-hmm. But with most dairy, all dairy products in the United States, they definitely put that disclaimer on there to keep it in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm.
All right, so what one are we trying now? The strawberry?
This is strawberry, yes. Would you like to try a little bit?
Oh, sure. I'll try a little bit. And you're right, you can find this. Have you also, in seeing the bottles now, have you seen in the grocery store?
I have.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Now, this is very drinkable. This is something you can take on the run.
Yes, they even make it in the smaller size bottles if mm-hmm. you wanted a portable, or you could pour this into your to-go cup.
I've even found this in those little squeeze packets for kids.
Oh.
Our son, Oscar, loves kefir. He loves it. He likes yogurt. He likes kefir.
It kind of reminds me of like a Go-Gurt type. Mm-hmm. Not a goat. Yeah, the drinkable
Drinkable yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something you can have on the run. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm intrigued by the chocolate. I'm not sure whether to be excited or afraid.
I'm intrigued, too. I think I have worked it up a little bit too much in my mind. I don't know if it'll live up. But we will see.
All right. How's the strawberry?
Strawberry is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is good.
It's like a little bit sweet, but not like super sweet.
Right. And it's not too thick.
Mm-hmm.
It like comes out of the cup easily. And
so this is something you could put in a travel cup on the way out and in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Laura, how much did the protein did you say in a serving of this?
This has 11 grams of protein, mm-hmm. so it's similar to a Greek yogurt, a little bit more than a regular yogurt, and that's in an 8-ounce serving, so one cup.
How would that compare to a cup of a serving of like low-fat milk?
Low-fat milk has 8 grams in the same amount in an 8-ounce serving, so it has a little bit more than a glass of milk.
Hmm. So this is to stay with you a little bit longer.
Yeah, and it'd be great to pair it with something with some whole grain, something with a little bit of fat for your morning meal, mm-hmm. like an egg and cheese sandwich on a whole grain English muffin. Ooh, I want one of those now.
All right. The chocolate. Here's the true test. Can you do chocolate kefir? I don't know. I haven't tasted it yet. The reviews are kind of mixed reviews. I can see just by the look on everybody's face.
You can taste the chocolate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not a super strong chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But you can taste that
still
in there.
And
it tastes good.
There's still the tartness of the the kefir.
Mm-hmm. I like the strawberry better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I think it it just seems to go better with the probiotic blending, I think, the chocolate seems to clash a little bit.
Oh, we've got more taste testers coming in.
Hi.
Hello.
Joni and Mary popping in. We're tasting kefir today. Have you ever had, Mary and Joni, have you ever had kefir?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm going to start them off with strawberry.
What
strawberry.
Kefir is.
Join the crowd.
It's something new. We're tasting strawberry and chocolate kefir.
Okay, how's it made?
So I'll go a little bit into the history and how it's made. It's a fermented milk product like yogurt and like the skyr that we had before, but it's a little bit more drinkable. It has more of the whey.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have a little bit of a lower protein content, but still a really great source of protein. It comes in a huge variety of flavors. Like we've tried strawberry and there's also chocolate truffle here if you're interested in trying that kind.
From a chocoholic?
Yes. But it does, like you said, it has a really tart taste that almost kind of contrasts with the chocolate flavor. It's kind of a faint chocolate flavor, but I would still do it as a replacement for dessert or something like that. I think anything with chocolate in it, I'm going to be okay with.
Would there be an advantage to this over chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk is still a great source of protein. Mm-hmm. It has all the vitamins of regular milk, vitamin A, vitamin D, phosphorus, potassium. But this, in addition to all of those, has the probiotic benefits. This has more strains of probiotic than a traditional yogurt or a Greek yogurt would have. So it has an even increased benefit for our digestive health. Mm-hmm. And it also has yeast, natural yeast, which is we need some degree, mm-hmm. some amount of yeast to keep our digestive system healthy. So it has both of those components. So just a little step up nutritional-wise from chocolate milk.
All right. So did Mary, did you get to try the chocolate yet? If you pour it on top of the strawberry, then you have a chocolate-covered strawberry. Do you want to try the chocolate?
Sure.
She's always game to try something fun. So, again, a good source of protein, something that can be eaten on the run. Affordability. What was the, when you were
super
shopping for this?
Super affordable. These were $2 a piece, and I think they were on sale 2 for $4. But still, it's you're getting at least, there's 4 servings in each one. That's a great bang for your buck as far as the protein content goes. One of your 3 a day of dairy could be here. So 3 servings of dairy a day gets you your daily recommended calcium, very high in calcium. Mm-hmm. I think they're really good, too. So it's something that you wouldn't feel like you're dreading getting your calcium
after drinking. Yeah.
All right. Strawberry compared to chocolate, Mary.
I vote strawberry. Strawberry was really good. Although chocolate came in a close second.
I think that that was kind of the consensus, it sounds like, in here, that the strawberry, the tartness of the strawberry and the kefir kind of go together. The chocolate, I think, was just a little surprising.
Yeah. I wonder, though, if we had tried the chocolate first.
That's true.
If we would have felt the same way.
That's good. Good question.
And maybe part of that comes from that it's, you know, so similar to yogurt. We're used to pairing fruit with yogurt. I mean, that's very common.
True.
If we were doing a more scientific study, right?
Right, right. Maybe we should do that.
I thought about that, how the double blind we could have done.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue our conversation. We're talking with Laura Morton, nutrition educator to the St. Louis District Dairy Council, and our panel of taste testers, which keeps growing by the number, by the minute. we are here on Faith and Family. Enjoy some great food. Hope you can stick around for more conversation right after this on Worldwide KFU.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
We're talking faith, family, and food today on Faith and Family. Laura Morton, our nutrition educator from the St. Louis District Dairy Council, joining us in studio for another taste testing and challenging us to try foods that we haven't tried before, to eat healthy on a budget. How do we find options that are affordable, but yet other maybe new to us sources of protein? So we've tried skyr and kefir. You had a fun fact for us on one of those.
I do.
What was that?
Fun fact about kefir, and it's right here on the front of the bottle. It says 99% lactose free, and the enzymes that are in here, the good bacteria that's in the product, actually eats the lactose, breaks it down almost till it's undetectable. So most people who are lactose intolerant can still enjoy kefir. So that's great to know, because it's a great way to keep those nutrients that can be hard to find elsewhere, the calcium, the protein, vitamin A and D. You can still get those nutrients from kefir without having the upset stomach that comes if you are lactose intolerant.
So lactose is a form of sugar, right?
Yes.
So the good bacteria is working away at the lactose, the sugar in the dairy.
Yes.
Wow. And so then it makes it something for... perhaps a little bit easier to digest for someone who has a lactose intolerance.
Exactly. It breaks it down to lactase, or it has the lactase in it that breaks it down, so we can already consume it without. If you are lactose intolerant, you can consume it without having any issues.
So it's almost pre-digested.
Exactly. That's a nice way of saying it's pre-digested.
So we've tried kefir. We went to Iceland. We went to Eastern Europe for... we went to Iceland for skyr and the Eastern Europe for the kefir. Now, we did... we got a question from a listener. Where to find skyr? You don't have to go all the way to Iceland to find it.
I was going to say that. You don't necessarily have to travel.
Although I'm up for it. If we want to take a trip to Iceland to go find some good skyr, and I don't know about the potatoes in it, but having some skyr for breakfast. You said you could find it in many grocery stores here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, I did not have a hard time finding it in the St. Louis area. I went to our local grocery chain, and it was right there with the yogurts in the dairy case. So I think that just going to your local grocer, you should have a good shot at finding it. And I think in the next year or so, it will be even more readily available.
You'll see more brands. Right now, there's really only one brand, right?
Yeah, I've only found the one.
Can we say his name? Siggy?
Yeah, Siggy. It's kind of a fun name to say. So right now, that's kind of the only brand out there, at least that I saw. So I think we'll see some bigger labels kind of grabbing onto this and... Just my prediction.
Sure. And it probably is going to be around the Greek yogurt, the thicker stuff as well.
Yes.
And kefir, we mentioned earlier, you can find that just about any grocery store.
Also in the yogurt section. The yogurt section is huge now.
Now, I have seen it, in addition to the yogurt section, I've seen it in the produce section where they have on-the-go drinks in the produce section.
Oh, right.
Because they'll have some of like the pressed juices and things like that in the produce section. I've seen kefir in that section as well.
Okay.
I'm not sure why in the produce. I guess because it's a convenient on-the-go sort
of. Yeah, and those are usually kind of healthy drinks in that area, like the kombucha or the fresh juice and the kefir, which fits in nicely right there.
I do have kombucha to drink today, too. I'm getting my probiotics in.
Yeah, you'll have a very happy belly.
Exactly. Exactly. Nobody knows what kombucha is. It's some mysterious drink.
That I like, whenever I drink it, I think, ooh, I don't like this. But then when I'm done, I'm like, oh, I want some more. It's strangely fizzy, and that fermentation creates bubbles, and it's good.
It's a beverage with probiotics. My wife thinks that it smells bad, so she won't drink it. So
it fits in with this, actually, because it is a fermented food, just like everything we've tasted so far is a fermented food. Just like kombucha and buttermilk. Have you ever had buttermilk?
My grandfather used to drink buttermilk a lot. As a kid, I thought it was just gross. I thought the smell of it, the taste of it was gross. I don't know. Has anybody else drink buttermilk?
I've used it in recipes.
Oh, sure.
It's really good.
I've never actually drank it. My dad grew up on whole cow's milk. Right out of the cow.
Yeah.
With all this stuff on it. Yeah. Like, no.
No, I've had milk with cream on top, but not like straight up buttermilk.
Yeah.
Like sit down and drink. My grandfather would have a glass of buttermilk for at least breakfast, if not other meals as well. I'm like, that's a meal in itself.
Yeah. It's thick.
And it doesn't have a good smell either.
No,
it's that fermented, that tang that when I was little, I actually drank it. I remember drinking it as a child more than regular milk. I enjoyed buttermilk.
Sydney, have you ever had buttermilk?
I have not. I don't care to.
It is not a new day.
I didn't bring it in, so we don't have to try it.
I'd probably like it now because of all the unusual things that I like. But as a kid, I just thought that was gross. Okay, so we've had skyr, kefir. What do we have on the lineup next?
This is coming to us from Italy. Mm. It is Italian for cooked cream. It's panna cotta.
Oh,
has everyone tried that before? It's a dessert.
But it sounds good.
Good. It's a dessert, and I adapted this recipe a little bit because I wanted to make it good for the upcoming holiday, so I added pumpkin. So this is pumpkin panna cotta, and the recipe's a little lengthy, so I will post it to our website.
We can link to it. Yeah,
I can. Yeah. So panna cotta, pumpkin panna cotta. Are you all ready to try this one?
Now, you said panna cotta is... cooked cream?
It's Italian for cooked cream. So it's a little bit of a, traditionally it's a temperamental recipe. It's hard to cook cream because it scalds really easily. But in the United States, they've kind of adapted it by using gelatin in the recipe. So that makes it a little bit harder to mess up, I guess is a good way to put it.
Now, how did you How did you get work pumpkin into this?
Well, I actually just threw pumpkin into it. That's what I did.
Did you puree, pumpkin puree?
Yeah, the canned pumpkin puree. I just used about half the can, which I think was close to a cup.
Wow.
I tried with the half cup, and I couldn't get that pumpkin color that I was wanting, so I put in a little more. And then just a half a cup of sugar was all it took to sweeten this. Plain yogurt, which is not a traditional ingredient in panna cotta. I added that in the spirit of the day, I guess. Normally, it calls for quite a bit of heavy cream, but substituting the Greek yogurt cuts down on the cost and also makes it a little bit of a lighter dessert.
Now, I'm not opposed to using heavy cream in recipes. We like that in our household. I know that it's not probably the healthiest to use heavy cream in everything.
It's but heavy.
You want to take a nap after that, too, after you have heavy cream. So you used cream and yogurt and pumpkin puree, a little bit of sugar, you said, in this.
Yes. And gelatin is kind of the key ingredient that gives it the, it kind of melts in your mouth. It's a little bit of a different texture than just the other creamy foods that we've tried today. And then vanilla. Vanilla bean is actually important for this, so you can really get that vanilla flavor. So I actually scraped the seeds off the bean, which I don't normally do.
Wow.
And put that in there.
You go to all kinds of great lengths for this program, don't you?
I do. And I love it. I love cooking and failing and succeeding in the kitchen.
Well, I love it when you bring all these fun and interesting things for us over. All right. I'm going to eat mine while you all share with us what you think about the, is it pumpkin panna cotta?
Pumpkin panna cotta.
All right. What do you think? What did you say, Sydney?
I like it.
You like it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about it?
I like the texture and the taste. It does have a little more sweetness than I normally would like, but it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you all describe the texture of this for the listener? You got to, you know, food on the radio is a
fun thing. I think when I was little, I always used to talk about what a cloud would taste like if you could eat a cloud. And it sounds really stupid, but I think it's, if you can imagine eating a cloud, really light and fluffy and airy, and it does melt in your mouth. It's really good.
It's also going very quickly.
Yeah,
tiny little spoon.
It's like it's been whipped, like the yogurt that's the whipped yogurt.
Yeah, it does kind of have that
lighter flavor in it, but and you can taste the pumpkin, but it's not an overpowering pumpkin. So people that aren't as wild about a pumpkin flavor wouldn't object to this. And it has a little bit, almost a little bit like a creme brulee.
That's what I was thinking.
That I don't know the top, yeah, just the way
put,
that
if you put a glazed.
Yeah, like I should have brought my blowtorch in.
Yeah, it would be exactly. Yeah.
That may or may not be the first time of having a blowtorch in the studio here.
The secrets are coming out.
If the listeners could see the spoons that we use for this to taste test. Oh, you all got big spoons. I see how. No, I'm just teasing. You know, those little spoons that you get to sample stuff when you go to the grocery store. That's what I'm eating this with, which is probably a better choice because this is good. It is. This is sweet for me. It's a little sweet for me, but I love the vanilla in it. I like the pumpkin. I agree with you, Lisa, that the pumpkin is not too strong in this. I like pumpkin things, you know, some stuff this time of year, but it is kind of funny because it's like November 1st rolls around and even October, and it's like brace yourself for everything pumpkin flavored. Yeah. But this is really good. I don't think the pumpkin is too strong. I like the vanilla. I'm getting the vanilla taste in this too. So I'm excited to share the recipe with our listeners for this panna cotta.
Yes, and I think it's fairly foolproof. So if you didn't want the pumpkin, you could probably just leave it out. Mm-hmm. Or if you wanted to cut down on the sugar, I think you could definitely do that and it would still taste pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Would it be wrong to put some cinnamon on something like this?
No, that would probably be really, really good.
That's what I was thinking about the other spices that you put into like a pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Like the is it ginger?
Yeah, ginger, nutmeg.
Nutmeg, yeah.
I put those really on good. Anything fall. Apple pie, pumpkin pie.
Yes. Right.
I put those same spices on those.
So this could be a really good recipe to break out for Thanksgiving if you're looking for a lighter dessert. Mm-hmm. And it's also one that you could definitely play with and be successful. Mm-hmm. It's not a tricky recipe.
How about the cost for this? For a dessert? Now, if you're doing this as a dessert, this isn't something you're going to do every day, obviously.
Right, right. And it was actually pretty affordable. And I think a little bit of that was I cut down the cream by using Greek yogurt, which is less expensive than heavy whipping cream. And really, that was the main ingredient. Other than that, there was a little bit of cream, a little bit of whole milk. I cut the cream down even a little bit further, which are very affordable options. Pumpkin is always on sale throughout the entire month of October into November. So really, it's a very affordable dessert. And I have four ramekins or five in here, but I have a huge bowl still.
Oh, wow.
So it made quite a few servings.
So everybody back at the office was very happy, too.
Yes, they'll all be getting their pumpkin panna cotta fill today.
I was thinking about, you know how... What's the salad called where they mix in the fruit and the
Waldorf
marshmallow? Yeah, like that kind of a texture. Mm-hmm. But if you did that, it would make it a lighter. It would be a
pistachio like a
salad. You're thinking pistachio salad.
We call it fluff. I think
we call it Waldorf. But basically, maybe you wouldn't do pumpkin. Maybe you'd do
vanilla
some other flavor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then mix in pineapple and
mix in some
like
fruit
that.
Yeah,
but it would be lighter than a regular,
or some chocolate chips or marshmallows.
Yeah, that would be good too.
Pecans on top.
Yeah, oh yeah, that would be good too. And that would be very seasonal
with the pumpkin flavor. Yeah, pecans.
What about peanut butter?
Ooh, a peanut butter panna cotta. Take out the pumpkin, replace it with peanut butter. I would not object to that. That sounds delicious.
That would be really creamy.
Yeah. Up the protein.
And then mix some chocolate chips in there.
I urge everyone to go home and try this recipe and mess around with it and send us your results.
Yeah.
No, I know you said it was really kind of a lengthy recipe. Give us an idea of what it's like putting this, making this panna cotta dish.
It's definitely not... you can definitely do it. I did it last night with a baby in the ergo strapped to my chest. And it was really, really simple to do. But it does have quite a few ingredients, like the vanilla bean and vanilla extract. So you really get that vanilla flavor.
Yeah.
Greek yogurt, pumpkin puree, whole milk, heavy cream, cold water, and the gelatin. And that's it. And sugar. Did I leave that one out? There's also sugar in it.
And you put this all in. Did you say in a blender or were you using...
You split the ingredients in half and you heat one half of the ingredients and then whip the other half and then fold the heated ingredients into the cold whipped ingredients and then add the gelatin and stir it all together and then let it set overnight. And I think without the pumpkin, it would have set up a little firmer than it did. Mm-hmm. But it had a nice whipped texture, which I liked, too. So maybe there are benefits to it not setting up all the way.
And I had, a tablespoon and a half or so. And that was quite filling, actually, after the skyr, the kefir, and now the panna cotta. I'm actually feeling pretty full.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, it does. Yeah. You do feel you have something in your stomach.
Yeah, which is, it makes it a great option. Dessert, I guess we're not looking for something super filling, but it would be great as a snack too. If you lightened up the sugar just a little bit, it'd be a great source of protein and pretty filling.
Maybe a little bit lighter since you used yogurt, a little bit lighter than maybe a cheesecake or something like that for dessert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think definitely.
Not that there's anything wrong with cheesecake.
No, definitely not. Cheesecake is one of my pumpkin cheesecake is one of my favorite Thanksgiving desserts.
And surprise, she's gonna pull. Oh no, you didn't bring one of those too. No, the panna cotta was great. I've heard of it when we go to anybody else in the same boat. You've heard of it when you go to a restaurant, but never had it before.
I've seen it
on the menu.
I've had it because I would always go for the chocolate if I'm ordering dessert at a restaurant. But I had an uncle who loves panna cotta. It's his favorite dessert. So I've tried it before on his account, and I was a big fan. Mm-hmm. It had a flan texture.
That's what I was thinking of. And that's Spanish, right? Or
is it? Is it that sounds right.
Spain or Mexico? It comes from Latin culture. Latin or Spain. Anyway, yes, I know what you're talking about there. That's kind of a custard.
Yeah, egg custard. So this was much more simple to make than a custard. there was no curdling risk because there were no eggs.
But you did have to heat it, though, correct?
Yes, briefly. Mm-hmm. I think start to finish, it took me a total of 15 minutes.
And with the baby in tow.
Overnight cooling. Yeah, with the baby.
All right. So this isn't impossible for someone like me to do then.
No, I think it's very, very possible. And it's one of those things you can do the night before. Mm-hmm. You actually should do it the night before.
So
put it in the refrigerator.
Cool. Yeah.
And then on Thanksgiving Day, you can forget about having to mess with the dessert because mm-hmm. it's already done.
And you have it. You stored it in a big bowl.
I filled up as many ramekins as I had. And then the rest I just put in a big bowl and it's set up just fine in there.
Well, very good. Very good. Now, these three ideas that you shared with us today, all affordable, all easy sources of protein, some easy to take on the run, some fun for a dessert, the panna cotta certainly for a dessert. What do you think, going through the list of things that we've tasted today, panel, what do you think is your likeliness to maybe incorporate one, two, or all three of these at home? What do you think? What do you think?
Well, I think maybe the kefir. Because we're big on grab-and-go mm-hmm. drinks mm-hmm. that are good for us. Mm-hmm. The panna cotta I would definitely try to make I think my family would love it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And maybe it could replace the cheesecake that we don't really need. but yeah, definitely the kefir I really liked.
Good.
That was really good.
What do you think, Kelps?
I think probably... There's a probability that we would incorporate all three, but I definitely like the panna cotta because, you know, when we get into the holidays, especially November and December, everybody gets, you know, we've got Christmas cookies and all these desserts that are super high in sugar and people load up and eat more than they realize and more than they should. So the panna cotta, because it's both filling and healthy, I think that would be a wonderful option, you know, to supplement or exchange for the higher sugar desserts. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but all three of these were vegetarian too?
Yes, the panna cotta did have gelatin.
Gelatin,
but solely, pretty much vegetarian for the most part.
So that would be another kind of benefit.
Mm-hmm. And do you think on the panna cotta, do you think you could completely skip the sugar that would make it okay or allowable for a diabetic?
I think that you might, because I used plain yogurt, you might want a little bit of sweetness, but I mean, it's definitely worth trying, and you mm-hmm. can always add in sweetness later. There is natural sugar in the milk and the yogurt to consider, but I think it might be worth a shot. I'd try it.
Because we do, I mean, we try to work at that. We have within our family at the holidays, we have one who's a diabetic and one who's gluten, needs to be gluten-free. And
it would definitely be good for the gluten-free. Yeah. And I think it would definitely be better than a lot of other desserts, lower on the mm-hmm. sugar content for sure.
That would be, with the gelatin, is that gluten-free too?
Yes.
So you could, this could be certainly a gluten-free dessert for family gatherings then.
Yeah.
If you can... if you want to find a way to do it without sugar. What about something like stevia or agave to sweeten?
Yeah, I think you could definitely try mm-hmm. an alternative mm-hmm. sweetener. I used plain old... You dissolve the sugar in the milk or the cream. Mm-hmm. So I think you could definitely use another stevia, agave, mm-hmm. honey, whatever.
Sydney, I know you're getting ready to run out. Did you find anything today that you might like to try? Or any of them you might...
The skier? Yes,
yeah.
Definitely.
Huh. Good. Very good. Well, this has been fun as usual, and I'm sorry you all that haven't tried Laura's hot chocolate, hot cocoa. Mm-hmm. As we were talking about the holidays, and Anna was talking about all the sweets and stuff. Laura makes an amazing hot cocoa, which we did last year in December. The perfect cup of hot cocoa, the perfect cup of hot chocolate, and it was fantastic. So someday maybe you'll get to try that too. But this, the panna cotta, I think really was quite comparable. The chocolate kefir. It's all right, but it wasn't bad. It kind of grows on you. The strawberry was good. Well, thank you all for the time that you shared with us in the studio today. I want to make sure that our listeners know that they can get the recipes. We'll provide a link to, you're going to post it on the Dairy Council page?
Yes, I can post it to our Facebook page,
okay,
which is just search STL Dairy Council on Facebook. You can visit our website, too, at stldairycouncil.org for some more information about what we do.
Very good. stldairycouncil.org. Mm-hmm. Look for them on Facebook as well. We'll try to provide a link to it from our website or on Facebook as well today. Check out the KFUO radio on Facebook. We can provide a link to the when you post the recipe as well. Or you can go to kfuo.org and look for Faith and Family tomorrow. It should be up on the website. Thanks to all my guests, Lisa and Anna Kelp. Thanks for being our guest today here. And Melissa Corbett, thanks for coming down from accounting and helping us be plan some affordable meals. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Laura Morton, nutrition educator with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family. It's always fun. Always a pleasure to have you in studio here. Thanks. Say hi to everybody at the office and tell them you're welcome that they get to have some panna cotta thanks to us today, right?
Well, thanks for having me. I love being here.
Absolutely. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with the Reverend William Wheaton. Hope you can join us for that. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.